This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. It's Wednesday, December 26th. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Going forward into the new year, organizations are plotting out what they plan to accomplish. The Rutshugakhmut Native Council is one of them. KYUK sat down with Executive Director Peter Yvonne to talk about what he saw as the organization's biggest accomplishments in 2018 and what he sees going forward into the next year. So tell me, when did you come on to ONC as the executive director?
I started in late May. Came over from AVCP, the Regional Housing Authority.
What were the goals for the organization? How were you planning to reach those goals?
Well, when I went through the interview process, there were several things that they wanted me to focus on. One of them was obviously to try to keep looking for more grant opportunities, to kind of keep growing our capacity, whether it be our social services, our natural resources. Obviously, Donlin was a big push there. The Stanford Salmon type of stuff, that was a big organizational goal. I mean, like I said, I really wasn't expecting to even apply for the job. But once it came open, I felt like I was ready to try to take on a new challenge. And it's actually been going really well so far.
How has it been going really well? Like, what are the biggest accomplishments that you feel like you've achieved this year?
Well, I definitely can't take all the credit. I'm being brand new over there. We do have a lot of directors that have been there a long time. We have recently acquired two grants that were actually big ones. And obviously, on top of our regular annual grants that we apply for different departments, the one that we're really working on right now is our an Elder Justice grant. And actually, there's two of them, Elder Justice and also our, it's called the NIJI grant. It's through an organization, it's a federal grant, and it's actually the very first time in U.S. history that a tribe has actually been awarded that grant. And Nikki Pollock deserves most of the credit because she runs our senior services program as our director. But she's working on it since last year. And like I said, that was before I got there. And so they deserve all the credit on it. But basically what it is it's a $700,000 grant, and we're trying to use it to reopen the senior service building. And so that's kind of our big goal. Obviously, that building needs a lot of work, and so we're actually looking at other opportunities as well, just in case. But we are going through the process of evaluating the building, speaking to our council about what the next steps will be. But, I mean, that's kind of the big goal, is to get our elders from this community a place to socialize, a place to come. Because I hear it all the time when I'm at AC or I'm in town. I get an elder or two asking, so what's the progress on it? And that's kind of our big push right now.
What other big milestones for ONC did you see this year?
Well, like I said, that Stanford Salmon was a big push. We're trying to be a little more vocal when it comes to issues that are going to impact the community and the region. Try to be there to assist other tribes and villages in the region, whether it be, like I said, the Stanford Salmon stuff. There's a land use agreement that we're trying to basically work with other villages on, just so people know that, what limitations or the openness of, that's the best thing about this region is, people come from, like I say, from Akichuk, from my community, and they go down to the, coastal area to go fish. Then you get people from the coastal area come up here to come get wood and stuff and bring it home. And that's always a great, a great relationship. And so just kind of making those things clear from both ends about how we want to keep continuing with that approach is a big one. I mean, there's a lot of internal stuff. I mean, as a Native Council, there were a lot of things that I wanted to see progress internally, whether it be with our technology, with our staff services, our benefits, things like that, because the turnover rate is is fairly high, obviously, with any job, but or any organization. But that was kind of my big thing, was to increase the benefits, just to kind of keep our talent, because we do have a lot of great staff members and great people in this region, in this community. And to be able to attract those people, you have to be able to offer them the things that they need to be successful.
So when looking ahead to the next year, what are some big milestones or goals that you have in mind for ONC and the region that you'd like to accomplish?
Actually, the biggest one we're working on right now is there's a 17-acre subdivision right behind the post office, the health center area right there, that we're trying to develop, because that's kind of been one of our biggest hurdles since I've, for years, but is finding land to actually build homes, because we have, we have our annual allotment from the HUD grant, the Housing Urban Development, to build homes for low-income, families, stuff like that, and other services. But there is just no land available in this town. And a lot of times, allotments are, you have to go through BIA, and that's a long process. So, like I said, it was already under for years now. They've been working on it, and we're actually hoping to break ground this coming springtime and summer with an access road to get in there, and then we can start developing that, because we're expecting 40 plus lots for low-income housing, and then we're actually going to try to there's actually space for a commercial lot, which we're looking at trying to build an ONC campus, basically, where we're going to have administrative offices, a teen center for kids that, after school and everything else, a daycare, which is a huge need in this town. I have five kids, and so it's always a battle to try to find reliable childcare in this town. Just like, everybody knows that. But we're going to try to get that developed as well. And then also, like I said, if the senior center plan does not, for some reason, come through with the older building, we're going to actually look at building one over there. And so, there's been, like I said, these directors that I have now there's been several that have been there for several years. So, like I said, I can't take any of the credit, because they've been planning on it for a while. But what we're trying to do is have as an intergenerational facility, where we have elders interacting with children, with teens, and basically have it as a place that people can come together just to, elders share their stories. And obviously they need the socialization with the younger generation. So that's kind of our big focus for this coming year.
What will that mean for the Yupik culture with that intergenerational interaction?
When I was growing up in Akichuk, that was always a big focus, was to have, once a month get-togethers with elders, and they'd mix in with the teens. The elders would come to the school and speak, and I'm sure they still do that here and in the region, but it'd be nice to have a dedicated facility for that kind of thing, where after hours they have a reliable place they can go. They know it's going to be open. They know there's going to be interaction. And obviously with our Yupik culture, it's highly important to be able to pass on the knowledge, pass on stories. And that's actually one thing we're going to be looking at as well. We just acquired new equipment, recorded equipment, to actually record elder stories, elder knowledge and things like that, that way we don't lose that while we still have them. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, it's highly important. It's one of our main priorities. One of the most important things we have is our elders, and so to be able to have them pass on their knowledge to myself, even, because I'm only 35 myself, and so people from my generation and on down, it's highly important. So
I kind of wanted to go back. You said something about a land trust. Could you kind of explain that a little bit more for me?
You mean the land use agreement?
The land use agreement,
okay.
Yeah.
No, it's basically just like I said. It's just making sure that people understand that, because, if you go farther up river in the Aniak and that region, they're a lot more restrictive about their land. And so what we're trying to do is basically make sure that villages in our region and near Bethel understand that we're still trying to basically that give and take, where, like I said, people come up here for wood, we get on there for fishing and berry picking and all that good stuff, and so just to make sure that we're trying to share our land, because it's not ours, it's there for everybody. And so but still understanding that there still needs to be some type of agreement to where it's still open for business, basically, for both ways. So
and when do you think that land use agreement, is it signed already, or?
No, it's really not anything super formal, to be honest. I mean, we've kind of sent out a letter to every village, actually, in the region, just to kind of inform and get their ideas on what they think. And we actually have had a few back that were, that they agreed and signed and things like that. But, it's, like I said, it's not law or legal or anything like that. It's just an understanding.
And then looking out into the future a little bit more, like 5, 6, 7 years down the road, where would you like to see ONC grow as an organization, and how would you like it? What do you see its impact on the surrounding region?
Well, obviously that subdivision is a big focus for us, because that's going to kind of take us up to the next level, whether it be homes for our low-income residents, or just like I said, for our facilities. And so just to have that place up and running would be a huge milestone for us. But on top of that, there's other things. We're like I said, we're trying to grow certain departments, trying to build our capacity, because I think that's kind of our whole point of us even having this type of organization, is to help as many people as we can. And ONC does have the most membership, I believe, in the state. I believe we're over almost 3,500 tribal members, and obviously growing every day. But to be able to effectively and efficiently help them as much as we can with the funding we get is important, because, you know, you never know when grant funding is going to die and or not be available. And so being able to be self-sustainable is a big portion of that. And so finding different avenues to try to generate revenue that's not all grant funding is a big focus for us.
What you heard was a condensed interview with Peter Yvonne, Executive Director of ONC, over the past accomplishments of the organization in 2018 and what he hopes the organization will accomplish into 2019. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Stay tuned for UPIC News coming up.